The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the doors for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This gospel text sounds a little bit like Advent, doesn't it? And if most of you weren't waving your fans in front of you, we could pretend it was December, but not so. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected time. What does it mean to be ready? Do you think about that? When Jesus returns, when he comes to claim his own, what does that look like? What will we look like? And throughout Scripture, we're given advice on how to be prepared for that glorious day. The Gospel of Luke, and in this 12th chapter, we've been here for a few weeks now, the Gospel of Luke gives us some warnings, some heads up, and a whole lot of hope. Truly, it's about the balance, the dichotomy, really, between fear and hope. And in the midst of that, where is your treasure? You notice when Jesus talks, when the angels talk, you hear the words "fear not" a lot. And I think, you know, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have any cable television. What did they have to fear? Well, they had everyday fears. Fears of robbers, fears of bandits, fears of illness and disease. They had the same fears we have. They had fears of not having enough. And goodness, this 12th chapter of Luke addresses this a lot. From give us this day our daily bread. That's the ultimate prayer of trust, right? And building up bigger and better barns and granaries is the antithesis of trust. But to its heart, it asks the question, what do you treasure? Where are your treasures? One young pastor had an idea that on the Sunday of this text, he would have an usher deliver him a note, and the note would say, "Now I don't want anyone to be alarmed, but there is a thief in our midst. And so I just want you to be careful and guard your valuables a little more closely." "Young pastor," I said. And what did he notice? But people pulled their purses a little closer. They checked their back pockets. Because what we have in terms of tangible and monetary things can be turned into an idolatry. What we have in terms of money and wealth and bigger granaries can be an idolatry. It can be the thing that most drives us. Certainly, you know, it drives politics and policy. But the gospel calls us back and says, "Fear not." It's not about having a thief in our midst that's going to pickpocket us. The thief in our midst is the word fear. Think about it. Every time this week you hear something that causes that little knot in your stomach, identify it. Name it fear. Okay, you're watching the news, and something makes you fearful. Say, "That makes me fearful." And then reject it. Because fear does not come from God. Okay, I did not give you a spirit of fear. I gave you a spirit of adoption. So if God did not give us a spirit of fear, who did? Who did? People who want to manipulate you know that fear works. Fear sells. Reject it. Identify it and reject it. Fear doesn't come from God. Our first two lessons this morning talk about Abraham and Sarah. We'll talk more about Abraham, but you know she was right there. By faith, says the writer of Hebrews, by faith, God reckoned it as righteousness to them. They saw the promise from afar. Abraham and Sarah were promised descendants, numerous as the stars of the sky. I picture that conversation that God had with Abraham. You know, God takes Abraham outside, puts his arm around him, says, "Look up. Look up, because you're going to have descendants as numerous as those stars. And Abraham, at this time, is probably older than anybody in this congregation. Hey, picture that. And Abraham and Sarah are, you know, a little laughing inside, a little doubt maybe. And Abraham even tries to cheat the promise by having a baby with Hagar. By the way, you cannot seize the promise. You have to open your hands and let God give you what God has promised. You can't seize it for yourself. Fear seizes things. Faith opens its hands. So Abraham's looking at the stars with God Almighty. How cool is that? And God says, you're going to have descendants more numerous than the stars. And then Abraham and Sarah wait. And they wait some more. They have the baby with Hagar. Ishmael is his name. And they wait some more. And then finally, Sarah has a baby. One baby before they die. Do you think Abraham and Sarah felt maybe a little cheated? Like, yes, this was a miracle that elderly Sarah and Abraham had a baby. But, you know, God said numerous as the stars. So what's that all about? And they will be a blessing to all generations? See, Abraham and Sarah only saw the tip of the promise. You've seen those pictures of icebergs, right? Where there's just a little tip above the water, and there's this massive foundation underneath. Abraham and Sarah saw the tip of the promise. You and I, we see the tip of the promise. And sometimes maybe that tip even goes underwater a little bit. But that promise is still there. As vast as the whole ocean or the stars in the sky. Because God is always good on God's promise. But we cannot seize God's promise. We cannot take God's promise by force. We cannot lock God's promise up in a box just for ourselves. God promised to bless the whole world with the descendants of Abraham. And you know who the key descendant of Abraham was, right? Great, 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 whatever, grandson of Ruth, the foreigner. Great, 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 whatever, grandson of King David. All sorts of lineage there to stretch out those descendants of Abraham and Sarah. But the key descendant was Jesus. The eternal King. Abraham and Sarah couldn't see that from where they were at. And some days we can't even see that from where we're at. But it's Jesus. It always was Jesus. It always will be Jesus. So give your fears to God and concentrate on what Jesus taught us. Love God, love neighbor, and God will take care of all the rest. My beloved brothers and sisters, the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.